Welcome to Season 3 of Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to inform, educate, and influence the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, TIS Insurance, Morrison Living, NRC Health, One Day, Argentum, The Bridge Group Construction, and Salinity. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We are in Nashville, Tennessee, NRC Symposium, thought leadership. I mean, just sky high here. We've got a star-studded list of interviews, and we're really grateful to welcome Clay Crossan. You are the president and chief operating officer at AmeriCare. Welcome to the show.
No, thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah. Awesome to have you on the show.
My hometown, Nashville, Tennessee. I get to come back to my hometown, so...
That's great. That's great. Well, we've got a lot of different topics to jump into today. We found out that you and Josh are connected, both personally and professionally, and we want to talk about that. But let's dive into your background. You've done this for a while.
I have.
You've seen a few things.
I have.
So let's share some of that with the audience.
Okay. I'll try to keep it brief because it's been 39 years worth, so I'll try to speed up. But actually, when I was in college at the University of Tennessee, I thought I wanted to be a hospital executive. Growing up in Nashville, HCA, all the big hospital companies were here. And so I'd actually talk with them, what career path, how is this going to work? And they kind of told me, get your business degree, then we want you to get your master's from this school, and then, you know, eventually you'll be a hospital CEO. So I said, okay. So I guess as close to my senior year, I had nothing on my resume about healthcare or anything. So I said, I better get something on my resume. So I went and applied at a nursing home in Knoxville, Tennessee. And to show you how smart I was, I didn't know it was a nursing home. It was Shenandoah Healthcare Center. I hope I can
still
say
there.
It. Very nice facility, yeah. Downtown. Well, not downtown, close to the university. And so I got a job as an orderly. They don't even use those terms anymore. Now it's a caregiver. There was no CNA. There was no certification. And so I did that one semester, 11 to 7 shift, if you can believe that. And my fraternity brothers thought I was crazy. But anyway, I did, and as I got into it, I realized, you know, there were some magazines laying around and periodicals, and I started reading about senior care and the graying of America, and actually I spoke to the administrator there, and I told him, hey, I'm interested in learning more about it. I know you probably go to meetings. If I could tag along, I'll wear a coat and tie. I won't say a word. I won't embarrass you. I'm just trying to find out what's going on in this space, and he was nice enough to let me do it. So that's how I started. And when I graduated from UT, I got an AIT position, administrator and training position, with a nursing home company, NHC, a very solid company, and got great training from them. It was a year training in Kentucky. I got my nursing home administrator's license. But I was still thinking, okay, I'm going to get a little experience as an administrator in nursing homes. I'm going to get them to pay for my MBA, and then I'm going to go to hospital. So that was still my plan. So when I got into it, after a year of AIT, I'm an administrator, and I really started opening my eyes to the things that were going on, and I just loved being around, you know, building a team, and the seniors were kind of always close to my heart, too, but really I was looking at opportunity. So went from administrator, then advanced to regional, and then to a senior VP, and then a divisional, and then joined AmeriCare Senior Living almost 18 years ago as a president and COO. So that's a Reader's Digest version of how I got here.
Well, it's fascinating, and we love talking about the career pathways that people have ended up where they are here, and it's amazing how diverse it always is. So very cool. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is I know a lot of your team, very good people, and I've shared that with you, that not only are they just awesome at their profession, but they're really good people, which I think speaks to a lot about your culture in your communities. And you guys have something, I think, that's pretty unique and special from the outside looking in that I know our listeners would love to hear about. We talk a lot about culture, but it's great when you can really hear some of the behind the curtain of how it works. You know, we see the result when we go in the communities, but like what was the intention and the thought behind it and then kind of the strategy. So talk to us about, and I may butcher this, but is it hometown hospitality?
That's it.
Is that right?
Hometown hospitality program.
So talk to us a little bit about your platform, why the hometown hospitality, how that works kind of at a high level.
Okay. And to give you some context, too, before that, just of who we are. So we're We're based in the Midwest. Our home office is in Sykeson, Missouri, a little small town, and that's our niche, is small towns. Mainly Missouri, Kansas, Tennessee. We have a couple in Illinois, Mississippi. We're primarily an AL company. We've got about 110 AL, about 30 of those are memory care. We also have 23 skilled. We have a pharmacy, a therapy, and some other ancillary companies. But our blocking and tackling is assisted living and skilled nursing. So for us, it was actually about 16 years ago, the owner and founder of our company, we're a privately held company, he said, because the company had been around 20 years before I got there, and he said, we used to have some kind of little saying that helped with our customer experience, and nobody could remember what it was. It was like something like smile, greet, and, you know, say hello or something. It was some kind of acronym. Nobody knew what it was. And so I figured we need to do something different here. We need to have something that's meaningful to us and something that can be not just a notebook on the shelf and gathering dust, but really in our DNA. So we realized that it was going to be hard for us to put it together by ourselves, so we hired a consultant, and we had caregivers, nurses, administrators, regionals, corporate people, a broad group of people sit together and think, what is genuine to us? What is meaningful to us? Our niche is small towns. It's got to be something meaningful to us. So we came up with this program. It's called Hometown Hospitality. It fits perfectly with our DNA. And what it does is there's four levels that employees can aspire to, and it's through video learning, it's online learning, but it's also a return example where people can actually see, did you learn something? Let me see if you're doing it. And then, so Hometown Hospitality started out as a customer relations program, but really became also an employee ladder. So we looked at two companies, and this is going to, for your viewers, you may not realize all of them, but one is Ritz-Carlton. Everybody knows about their training. And so we took little bits of that. But then we also took some bits from Cracker Barrel. It's a little southern restaurant around here.
And we know about Cracker Barrel. Trust us. So, yeah.
And actually, I was living down here before in Missouri before my family came, so I ate at Cracker Barrel a lot. And I noticed the servers would have 1, 2, or 3, 4 stars. And I noticed the really good ones have the 4 stars. And so I asked them, how do you get these stars, and then what do you get from it? And they started sharing with me how they got trained, and now they're mentors for others, and they could get better benefits and so forth. And funny thing, I called Cracker Barrel, and I said, hey, could I come and visit you just to learn a little bit more about it? But I said, we're not in the restaurant, but we are kind of. No, we're in a senior living business. We're not competitors at all. And they were very closed with it. That's kind of like their secret sauce. So, okay, that was fine. But turns out one of our regional directors, her daughter worked at Cracker Barrel, so we kind of got the secret sauce anyway. But anyway, it doesn't sound like something that would fit, but we took some Ritz-Carlton parts of their customer service and then Cracker Barrel and formed what we call Hometown Hospitality Program. And it's really in our DNA. It was important for me to be right in the center of it. Because everybody knew that it was important to us, because I just didn't want it to be another, idea of the quarter, the program of the month kind of thing. Several of us have seen those before, and they just don't work. And so there are four levels through Hometown Hospitality. Employees through online education, again, and some demonstration, can advance through the four levels on their own. It's kind of whatever's pace they want to go. You can get through the whole four levels in 18 months. At each level, there's a monetary reward. They get through the first segment, they get $50. Next segment, it's $100. Level three, it's $250. And level four, then they're actually getting a bigger compensation, actually hourly wage increase for the quarter. And once they become a level four, we call them CEOs, customer experience officers. So it's funny, when I go to conferences like this, they'll say, okay, president, COO, who's your CEO? And I say, well, we got about 800 of them. And it's the truth, so it's kind of catchy like that, but it really does kind of dive into the DNA of our company. Our culture is really built around that and really about a culture of recognition. At every time we turn around, we're at thank you notes in front of people. You know, I try to write at least one a week to somebody, and all our team does. And so we really look to pat each other on the back. And, who doesn't like that? It doesn't cost really much of anything, but it's very powerful.
I think it's so great. You know, some of the touch points, even beyond just the culture, the program, but you guys have really, I think, took a deep look into who you are. You use the term DNA. and know who you are, who your target is, and not really stray from that, not deviate from that. You just kind of double down on that. And I think nowadays, in the idea of everybody talking about, we got to be recruiting, we got to do all these things, we got to do all these bells and whistles, they kind of forget the basics of who they are. And, you know, it's hard to be everything to everybody. But it seems to me, from the outside looking in, that you guys really focusing on who you are has been, and building your culture that you can duplicate around that, has been one of the secret sauces. So that's really fascinating to me. So, you know, I think you probably made that sound extremely simplistic to our audience, which maybe is, it's not a lot of rocket science, but I know enough about senior care operations that actually delivering that plan, that's a daily effort, a daily grind, requires platforms and people working together. We're here at the NRC Symposium, a great partner of ours. I know they've been a great partner of yours as well. So can you unpack a little bit of maybe how the touch points have been with an engagement platform like that, and kind of your learning, your understanding, and how you tap into their resources?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, prior to us learning and engaging with NRC, we try to kind of do a homemade satisfaction survey, you know, a survey monkey here, a survey monkey there. You know, we were writing our own questions, and really we got the data, but really there was no benchmarking. You know, we couldn't even compare ourselves from one year to another. So we decided we needed to be a little more sophisticated about it. And so we started to talk with NRC about what they do and how they do it. And so all those things came to be. So now we can, and so when we talk about customer satisfaction and NRC, you know, there's so many things to keep track of in senior living, and we know you can get very distracted. So we try to boil it down to just simple things. So for instance, customer satisfaction, particularly that question, would you recommend this place to others? It's a huge, that to me, that is the bottom line. And so our administrators and our leaders and our facilities, they're bonused on that. Our regional people, they're bonused on that. I'm bonused on that. So it's meaningful. We also have a dashboard that whenever anybody in the company logs in the morning, we've got a dashboard of kind of our key result areas, and one of those is resident status. So it's there every day. Everybody's seeing it all the time. We celebrate it. We bonus on it. We talk about it. But really, as far as the culture goes, you know, it has to be mean something. Even the hometown hospitality pro, we got close to 4,000 employees, small towns. Some are more sophisticated than others, but so we have to make it come to life for them. So we have to make sure they understand this is what we're talking about. We're talking about, it's really about family. And we have acronym called family values, you know, and every letter stands for something. They have first impressions mean a lot. A, always address people by name. People like hearing their name, you know, whether it's the resident or their family. You know, make people feel comfortable. You know, I, individuals deserve respect. L, leave with graciousness when you're dealing with a resident leaving the room. And Y, finally find a way to say yes. And so we try to build around family values, something that's easy to understand and easy to put into action. And really, most people, we do training, but really when people think about it, how do you want to be treated? It's almost like the golden rule principle. But I think in our small towns in particular, people gravitate to that. They understand what family means. So right. I think that's a little, and NRC helps us really make sure everybody knows what that score is. And we get the 94s and 95s. We have banners in the front lobby. You know, we're proud of it. We're showing it off, and on our website, all our social media, we're talking about it. So it's a big thing for us.
I love that. And I love that you guys reward, and it's one of your key performance indicators, because I think a lot of times it's misaligned, you know, what we talk about versus what we track and what we reward. And the fact that you guys, that's on your daily dashboard, that everyone from the top down is incentivized to that culture. And that's really fascinating. So I have another question, and I tend to chase some rabbits, but while we've got you here, take advantage of the thought leadership. I know one of the things that everybody seems to be talking about right now is this place in our industry, so to speak, that we're kind of in between the greatest generation, the boomer generation. Everybody's like, some are really excited, some are really fretting, and everybody still has this question mark above their head, like, we don't know what's coming next. when you and your group has seemed to be so focused on your DNA, who you are, I think to use your phrase, blocking and tackling, the basics, the culture, do you see that you guys are really going to have to look at changing your strategy? Are there things that you're concerned about as we gravitate to a new generation of care? I mean, what's on your dashboard for the future? What is there anything that keeps you up at night?
Well, I tell you, to me, it's exciting that we've got this opportunity. You know, we go to these seminars and people say somebody's going to Uberize our industry. And so I tell my team, let's be our own Uber.
Yeah.
Who best to do it? And so even as we've structured even meetings for our senior management group, about every other month we'll have what we call just a maintain meeting. So we're going through agenda items and, you know, things people need to know about. But then the most effective meetings we call gain meetings. And these gain meetings is there's no handouts. Nobody comes with an agenda. We put names in a hat and I draw your name. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What have you heard about? And then actually a couple of years ago, we had a conference actually here in Nashville. And it was called, the whole name of the conference was hashtag reinvent. And we had people, we had big hashtag reinvent letters throughout the, you know, the whole conference. And people on post-it notes were putting ideas up there. So we typed them up, we grouped them together, and we picked the best 10 that we could take action on. And it was amazing just when you ask people, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Like, well, why didn't we think about that? So we're always saying, you know, let's think differently than others. You know, yeah, we're in small towns, but this is going to be affecting us too. In fact, it's funny, my friends, I'm 62, so my friends, some of them are retired, and they're like, when are you going to build a place that we want to go to? You know, so it's kind of interesting that to that dynamic, like you say, the ones that are in there now, the baby boomers that are coming, and then others, you know, the taste is going to be different. What they're going to ask for is to be different. We better be ready to deliver it differently.
So you've got some friends close to retirement, and they're asking those questions to you. Are you getting any feedback? I mean, what's the insight? Because I think that is one of the questions. It's like, you know, we kind of know that, hey, they want something different. They don't know what's there. Are there any insights as you're looking into that age group and your peer group? And what is it? What is it that they're looking for? What is so different? Do you know?
Well, I tell them when they ask that question, I describe what we've all kind of read about. I hadn't seen it yet with the Margaritaville senior mm-hmm. living.
Sure.
And as soon as you kind of talk about that, you understand what that is. My friend says, that's where I want to go. You know, now that's not exactly, you know, active assisted living or active skilled. It'll probably happen on those campuses. But I think that's what my group's saying. Now, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I might be interested in. And there's still a lot of PIP folks, unless they've had a personal experience with assisted living and nursing home, and most kind of have at this point. But a lot of it had, even my friends hadn't been in the new one at any time, you know, recently. And so I think a lot, you know, wellness is a big thing for us. You know, having chefs are a big thing for us. Training our staff on all of these things, I think, are going to become more and more meaningful. And also getting students in there, make it more of a lively, educational, more of a interactive kind of program, I think is going to be critical for all of us.
Well, I know you guys are focused on blocking and tackling, but a lot of what you're doing is really, I think, relevant for the next generation. It's these timeless principles of just humanity and treating people. I'm really excited to hear that you're excited about the future, and it's not a thing that's scary to you, and you're going to become your own Uber. So that's pretty cool. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and the busy conference schedule to spend time with us here. I know our audience is going to want to connect with him.
Yeah, Clay, thank you so much. And we'll make sure that we put you and your company into the show notes so that our audience can connect and get more information if they'd like to learn more about your organization. Thanks for adding value back on the topic of culture. It's very meaningful. That seems to be a continual theme here. And then a way to measure that, which is the other part of it. So thank you so much for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Join the BTG podcast team at Argentum May 18th through the 20th and use our promo code BTGSLEC for $100 off a full conference pass. See you in Tampa. Visit btgvoice.com for more details.